time to take back control of your life and start making choices based on what your true self and intuition are telling you. Welcome to Shining Bright with your host, Regina Cisco. If you are one of the many people that deserve a better life and more fulfillment than what they are living now, the next hour will be enlightening, inspirational, and above all, will provide the direction you need. Now, here is your host, Regina Cisco.
Hello, I'm your host, Regina Cisco, and welcome to my show, Shining Bright, A Journey from Self-Doubt to Self-Worth. And I wanted to let you know, this is some exciting news, that I have been on the air with my radio show for 1 year now. Like, yay! I can hardly believe it. It's gone by so quickly, and it's been so much fun, so much fun. I love every single minute of it. I love my listeners. I love everyone at Voice America, and I love all my fabulous guests who have been on the show. And so my exciting news is I am so blessed and grateful that I have over 60,000 listeners on a monthly basis who listen to my show. So I'm so grateful that my message is getting out to you and you're loving it and the guest information. So I'm so happy about that. And so since I've been on the show this whole year, I've had over 350,000 listeners, which is just like, wow, holy cow, remarkable. And I'm so grateful. And it's so much fun, right? How much joy and gratitude and appreciation can you have for doing something that you love? And I love, 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 love it. And I love you. Thank you so much. So I have several things to talk about this morning before I bring my guest in. And, you know, last week I was talking about the whole political thing and thought it was really important to bring in some light and say some prayers. So I'm just going to stick with this theme because I just think we need a whole lot of light here in the United States with all this going on. So I found this actually great little prayer that talks about, it's a prayer for divine government. How nice is that? Divine government. Oh, that's such a nice concept. So I'm going to share this with you now. It goes like this. I am my I am presence, and I am one with the I am presence of all humanity. I invoke the great beings of light associated with divine government to this planet, and I invoke the beloved ascended masters guarding the evolutions of Earth. Blessed ones, blaze the sacred fires of God's will and divine illumination in, through, and around every person involved with the governments of Earth at an international, national, state, and local levels. Blaze the sacred fires of God's will and divine illumination in, through, and around the electorate and government officials of all nations. Let every person feel and tangibly experience the power, wisdom, and love of our Father, Mother, God, flowing through them as they elect their governments and vote on all issues before them. Seal this activity of light within every person's heart flame. Expand this light daily and hourly, 1,000 times, 1,000-fold, with every breath I take. Victory is ours in love governing this planet. And I'll say that again. Victory is ours in love governing this planet. And one more, victory is ours in love governing this planet. And so it is, beloved I am. Now, isn't that a beautiful concept, that love is governing our planet? That's really the energy of the fifth dimension. How beautiful is that? And I want to tell you about a couple of upcoming events. So I'm doing a teleclass on Tuesday, coming up Tuesday on October 16th with Kathleen McCandless, who's got the number one feng shui book in America called Feng Shui That Makes Sense. And I'm going to be talking about sharing tips and tools to do some internal housekeeping of getting rid of old habits and fears, so that you can allow love in. So I'm going to give you some really easy tips and techniques to set new agreements for yourself, a really beautiful technique for forgiveness, and a technique that helps you to keep your heart open and let love in. And Kathleen is going to talk about setting the stage for love and enhancing the relationship sector of your home and how to do space clearing and decorating for your bedroom and household to bring love in. So this is really useful tips and tools on this call. It's going to be from 6 to 8 p.m. Pacific time. It's only $97. The call is going to be recorded for all those who sign up. So even if you can't make it that night, you can still sign up and you'll receive the recording of the call. And just go to my website at reginasisco.com and go to the Feng Shui tab, and all the information for the class is there. And I want to also tell you about my beautiful workshop coming up in Santa Barbara, which is at the end of this month on October 26th, 27th, and 28th. The 26th is a free evening, and the workshop is on the 27th from 10 to 5, and I'm doing private sessions on Sunday. So this is how to prepare for a conscious relationship. So it's moving from that third dimensional relationship into a fifth dimensional relationship, into a conscious relationship. So we'll be doing work with our ego and our soul and our I Am presence to really support and create the transformation to those higher levels and vibrations. So the result will be new miraculous levels of freedom in your life. You will recognize the workings of the ego and now have the tools to maintain and support its transformation process through love and safety. This opens the gateway to the fifth dimension of unconditional love and acceptance for yourself and others. Can you imagine love, loving yourself that fully and completely? Then welcoming a partner into that space? This is where a true divine relationship begins. And you can go to my website again at reginasisco.com and click on Santa Barbara for all the details. And you can, or you can contact my event coordinator. Her name is Felice Cohen. Her number is 805-708-8228. So look forward to having you there, especially all those in the California area. So Greater LA, Orange County, Ventura, Oxnard, Santa Maria, all of those areas. And let me see, what else do I have to tell you? So much is happening today. I think I want to tell you that it's time to breathe. So how about if we take 3 deep breaths in and out? And I'm taking a deep breath in and slowly breathing out through my mouth. And I'm taking a deep breath in and slowly breathing out through my mouth. And one more deep breath in and slowly breathing out through my mouth. So my show today is with Mary Patterson as my guest, and she's going to talk about her book, The Monks and Me, which is her story of 40 days of living in a monastery. So let me tell you more about Mary. She is the founder and director of Toronto's Lotus Yoga Center. She is certified in Kundalini and Hatha Yoga, and she holds a Bachelor of Arts degree and teaches internationally. She has been interviewed for numerous magazines and newspapers, including Elle Canada, the Toronto Star, the Globe and Mail, and has regularly contributed to celebrity health profiles to online journals. Mary is often invited by a wide variety of diverse companies to teach and speak about the transformational powers of yoga and meditation. She's trained in classical ballet and also performed professionally in theater and film. She has traveled throughout India and now lives in Toronto, Canada. You can go to Mary's website at lotusyogacenter.com, and that's L-O-T-U-S Yoga Center, CENTRE.com. Welcome to the show, Mary.
Hi, Regina. Thank you for having me.
You're so welcome. So I'm so excited to have you on the show so you can tell us about your journey. But I'd love for you to start by maybe sharing a little bit about your background, like your yoga center, and what brought you to the Buddhist teachings.
Sure. Well, years ago, after my mother died, I became interested. I discovered yoga and meditation, and eventually that led me to open my own center in 2000, because I felt the power of the practice, the healing power of the practice, and just the, the life-changing benefits of yoga and meditation. It was quite startling, actually, to discover that there was, that there were these practices that could really do some incredibly deep healing. So I opened my own center in 2000, and I still have the center and enjoy sharing the teachings that I've been so fortunate to come across through my travels and studies, sharing them to whoever comes to the center. So that's how I started. That's how I became interested in yoga. And then when my father died, I had actually become interested in Buddhist teachings during a first trip to India, where I had sat a 10-day silent Vipassana meditation retreat. And so I had incorporated the Buddhist teachings with my yoga, within my yoga classes, and became an avid reader of various books on Buddhist teachings, and among them were books by Thich Nhat Hanh. So I had been reading books by Thich Nhat Hanh, who is the monk that I studied with, that I went to France for 40 days. So I had discovered him and the teachings many years ago, but after my father died, I realized I wanted to become more involved in the teachings in a completely immersed way. So that led to my pilgrimage to Plum Village in Monastery.
Okay. So before we get to the story of your pilgrimage, Mary, I think this is going to be a good time for us to take a break, and we'll continue on with the story when we get back. Does that sound good?
Great.
Okay. I'm speaking to Mary Patterson, author of The Monks and Me. She is sharing her enlightening story of her pilgrimage to a monastery in France soon after the loss of her father. You can learn more about Mary's work by going to her website at www.lotusyogacenter.com. We'll be back after the break.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel.
Are you healing from a divorce or relationship breakup? Join Regina Sisko's coaching, healing, and renewal program for women called Feeling Better Than Ever. Are you experiencing feelings of low self-worth or rejection? How would you like to feel lovable and empowered again? Regina will help you to transform your thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors that are creating your pain and suffering. You will feel immediate relief with her gentle and powerful healing process. Each step of the way, you will feel lighter and will begin to forgive and accept yourself. You'll feel your heart heal. How wonderful is that? Regina will guide you to loving yourself and having a whole new level of freedom in your life. You will feel better than ever. Act now. Email info@reginasisko.com for a free 20-minute consultation. Also check out Regina's matchmaking services on our website at www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com. Now you can let go of the dating frustration and work with her to help you find your match made in heaven. Are you ready to have a true divine relationship? Email info@reginasisko.com to get started.
If you hear a dog barking or an angel singing, then you know that you are listening to Waking Up in America. Heard every Wednesday at 3 Pacific Time, Valerie Kirkhard and all of her friends will bring you powerful and humorous discussions that raise thoughts and give you insight on how to live your life to its fullest potential. Adventure is always a must on Waking Up in America with Valerie Kirkhard, every Wednesday at 3 Pacific.
The Voice America 7th Wave Channel. Be extraordinary. Be the change.
This is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's 7th Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and I am speaking to author Mary Patterson, who is going to be sharing her experiences of 40 days in a French monastery and what she learned about herself and her life through her eyes and the eyes of the Buddhist brothers and sisters. So, Mary, you mentioned that you actually went on a spiritual pilgrimage, and you did this at Thich Nhat Hanh's Plum Village Monastery in France. So what? Mm-hmm. Tell us about that. What propelled you to take this pilgrimage?
Well, as I was just saying before the break, after my father died, you know, I felt really quite unmoored after a second parent died. I think many people, I know I had this feeling of loss that was difficult to work through on my own, even with my regular practice of yoga and meditation here in Toronto. I felt like I don't know, I just really needed to do something more dramatic. My father had died in my 40th year. Within the yogic teachings, there's several teachings surrounding the sacred number of 40, and we see this in several traditions and religions, that, you know, for instance, Jesus was in the desert for 40 days, Moses was on Mount Sinai for 40 days, Muhammad meditated in a cave for 40 days, there's 40 days in the season of Lent. You know, I could go on and on and on and on about this number 40 and how it relates to a spiritual transformation. So within the yogic teachings, I had been taught that if you do something for 40 days in a row, a meditation practice or a yoga posture, you're going to create a certain change and transformation within. You could break a habit that you've been trying to break with a 40-day meditation practice. You could create a new way of being or thinking or living within you. Hopefully you could generate a kind of insight that will help you stay on your path. So because my father had died in my 40th year, I just, you know, recognized the power of that number even more than I already, you know, knew about this number. So I had decided to take my pilgrimage for 40 days. And it really was transformative. So that's the background. That's the reason why I went for 40 days. And I went to Thich Nhat Hanh's monastery because of several reasons. But I hadn't practiced his particular style of meditation before, which is Zen Buddhism. I had practiced Vipassana meditation, but not Zen. So it's kind of just jumping in, diving in to the unknown with this pilgrimage.
Okay. So could you give us a brief description of what Zen Buddhism is?
Yes, well, there are many lineages in the Zen tradition. Thich Nhat Hanh teaches engaged Buddhism, which, you know, you could figure out what it means just by the name engaged Buddhism, but he's a wonderful teacher for explaining and demonstrating how the power of engaging with the whole of life leads to this more insightful, reverential way of living. So many Buddhist traditions have monks and nuns who are quite renunciate in that they don't socialize with lay people. They do a lot of serious meditation in solitude. There's a place for that within Thich Nhat Hanh's teachings, of course, but he, at his monastery, the monks and nuns engage with the pilgrims and the lay people that visit, and they go out in the community and they actually serve communities in many different ways. And, you know, Thich Nhat Hanh is a social activist. He was deep into healing practices and services, both within the Buddhist tradition and just socially and politically during the Vietnam War. And he provided help to many, many people. So he is someone who is politically active, socially active, engaged in the world, and his way of teaching reflects that deeply. So he, you know, he's an engaged Buddhist teacher, and he teaches that one should apply the Buddhist teachings in one's life. So it's not about renouncing the world or going off to a mountain and, you know, going into seclusion for years.
Mm-hmm. It's really more about daily practice, correct?
It's about daily practice, absolutely.
Okay, great. So I also want to ask you about this. So the opening quote in your book is by Thich Nhat Hanh, and it says, "In the stormy ocean of life, take refuge in yourself." So could you describe that to us? What does that mean, perhaps in Buddhist terms?
Yeah, you know, it means several things. But on the deepest level, it means that all the answers are within you. On another level, we can look at the self as simply made up of things that it's not. So, you know, we identify so strongly with the ego and our form, and that leads to a lot of suffering. So we attach to this particular form and these particular emotions. But if we connect with the true self, recognize that we're made up of the elements of the world, that we're connected with all life because we're all made up of, you know, from these universal elements, and everyone and everything is dependent on everything else, then there's a real kind of security and stability in that knowledge and understanding. Mm-hmm. It's kind of like connecting with the part of you, the essence within you, that is the same energy that is in the universe and in all life. And so that's a wise, insightful, intuitive self. It's not a neurotic, you know, crazed, ego-driven, attached self. So that's how I would describe it.
Okay. Yeah, I like that. Very mm-hmm. beautiful. Yeah.
So, I want to talk a little bit, Mary, about the loss of your parents. I know before you took this trip, your father had died recently and your mom had died several years prior to that. So mm-hmm. how did that event change you? And I'll share a little bit about my own experience too. Both of my parents have passed. My father has been passed for probably almost 20 years now, and my mom about 10. And, you know, it was difficult. You know, when my dad died, of course, he was the first parent, and I was particularly close to him. And so that was hard enough. And then when my mom died, even though my relationship wasn't that close to her, it was still, it was like a big deal. And a big deal in that, you know, wow, you always have your parents rely on. You can always call them, you know, if you're feeling stuck or need help. It's just like, you know, you can always call your parents and just talk to them, and they, you know, usually give you some good advice or even can just listen. So that kind of that, it's almost to me like the umbilical cord was now gone, and like really having to recreate my own personal foundation, and not having the parents. So tell me about your experience with all of that. How did you perceive it?
Yeah, you know, I feel similar things to you. And I think if you have had loving parents in your life, when they're no longer there, it is a big loss. As you said, you know, you could just pick up the phone anytime and call them. And your parents provide this kind of stable love and support, unlike anyone else in one's life, I think. So when that's not there, and for me, feeling that loss when my father died, there's a sense, and I really experienced a feeling of not having access to that kind of deep, unconditional love that a parent provides. So you really have to, and what I felt I had to do was find that within myself, because really no one else, and even your parents ultimately, can't give that to you. I think it's an opportunity when you experience the deaths of loved ones to really find that, you know, enduring love within oneself that is there no matter what happens in your surroundings. So that's how I felt, and that's what I felt I needed to nourish or nurture within me, that that feeling of love that would be present within me, but then would come out from me and spread out from me. It's a kind of a closed feeling when you are with a kind of a deep sorrow of losing a loved one. And for a while, you know, you're in your own little cave almost. And I think you really have to rebuild a foundation so you can expand and venture out again in a renewed way.
Yeah. I'd agree with that. And Mary, it's time for us to take a break.
Okay.
I'm speaking to Mary Patterson, author of The Monks and Me. She is sharing her enlightening story of her pilgrimage to a monastery in France soon after the loss of her father. You can learn more about Mary's work by going to www.lotusyogacenter.com. And we'll be back after the break.
This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel. Who am I? Why am I here? Where am I going? How do I get there? If you're searching for the answers to these and other spiritual questions, you can look within, and you can tune into The Open Door.
Our program will expand your awareness of the teachings of the Ascended Masters, offer you practical tools that promote self-mastery and personal freedom, and provide an unerring pathway for graduating from Earth Schoolroom. The Open Door with host Tom Schumacher and Terry Kennedy is broadcast live every Tuesday at 11 a.m. Pacific, 2 p.m. Eastern Time on the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
Are you healing from a divorce or relationship breakup? Join Regina Sisko's coaching, healing, and renewal program for women called Feeling Better Than Ever. Are you experiencing feelings of low self-worth or rejection? How would you like to feel lovable and empowered again? Regina will help you to transform your thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors that are creating your pain and suffering. You will feel immediate relief with her gentle and powerful healing process. Each step of the way, you will feel lighter and will begin to forgive and accept yourself. You'll feel your heart heal. How wonderful is that? Regina will guide you to loving yourself and having a whole new level of freedom in your life. You will feel better than ever. Act now. Email info@reginasisko.com for a free 20-minute consultation. Also check out Regina's matchmaking services on our website at www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com. Now you can let go of the dating frustration and work with her to help you find your match made in heaven. Are you ready to have a true divine relationship? Email info@reginasisko.com to get started.
Be visionary. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
This is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and I'm speaking to author Mary Patterson, who is sharing her experiences of 40 days in a French monastery and what she learned about herself and her life, and her life through the eyes of the Buddhist brothers and sisters. So then, Mary, based on what you've just talked about in terms of experiencing the loss of your father and your parents, tell us about some of the experiences that this 40-day journey in the monastery helped you with, and I know you've got some amusing stories, too.
Well, you know, I have lots of stories. I guess, you know, my very first day was interesting and challenging. I found myself, you know, very tired and cold at the end of the day. Everyone was in bed, in a shower, just trying to clean up from the day and, you know, had traveled a long way to get to the monastery and had this long first day. And I'm all covered in soap, and the water stops. and you know, it. And not only did the water stop, and not only did I have soap all over my body, but it was very chilly and cold in this tiny little washroom. So I had, you know, my first lesson earlier that day, where I had been listening to a Dharma talk by Thich Nhat Hanh. It was actually on a television screen. I hadn't yet been in his presence. But he talked about our ability, our inherent ability, to recognize that we can't control our surroundings, but we can control what's going on inside of us and our response and our relationship to these circumstances that we find ourselves in. And, you know, so I think he had said, be the sovereign of yourself. Go back to the island of yourself. And, you know, he had then taught that we do this through mindful breathing. So I found myself in the shower, not knowing what to do. And my first emotional response was to fight the reality of it. And then I remembered, you know, these wise words. And so I just started breathing slowly and deeply. And just very quickly, the simple fact that I began this conscious breath technique, my body started to warm a bit. So the relief was immediate. And then I started to just really accept the circumstance. And through that acceptance, it was kind of a liberating feeling that came. You know, and I recognized that I really and truly cannot control what's happening outside of me. But I always can control my response to it. And so, you know, to give away the ending of the first chapter, the water did come back on. But I had, you know, quite a bit of time standing there just, you know, with my breath and finding myself in this kind of crazy situation. And, you know, it was wonderful when the water did come back on because it was almost like this sign in a way, you know, relax and everything's going to be fine. You know, if you just have some patience, things tend to work out. So that was one story that, you know, initially brought me into this place of recognizing that I could apply the teachings to every single situation in my life. And there at the monastery, there were lots and lots of situations in which I had an opportunity to apply the Buddhist teachings, and this is exactly what Thich Nhat Hanh was teaching us to do. You know, it's not about an intellectual understanding of what the Buddha taught. It's actually one needs to have an experience, an active physical experience of the teachings. And this is what causes insight and change to happen.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, so that was one event.
So is that, would you describe that as the Buddhist practice of mindfulness?
Yes, actually, I would. So, you know, being mindful, its true definition, simply means being aware of what's there in the moment. Mm-hmm. Being really aware of what's happening moment to moment, the reality of what is. So often we are living in the past, ruminating or worrying or having some kind of torturous thought about the past. Or we're projecting ahead into the future, fantasizing or having some anxiety about some future event that hasn't happened. And so very rarely do we live mindfully in the moment, moment to moment. And Thich Nhat Hanh teaches that if we can be mindful, then concentration is already there. And then when we're concentrated, insight will come. So that's the threefold pathway, mindfulness, concentration, insight, that leads to liberating ourselves from our suffering. So mindfulness is the base of it. We really, truly have to be aware of the reality of the moment. So that's how, you know, it would be defined in Buddhist terms and my interpretation of it for myself.
Right. So I can imagine you had lots of opportunities to practice mindfulness since being in a monastery where you're getting up before dawn and long periods of silence and meditation, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Yeah, I can elaborate on that if you'd like.
Sure, go ahead.
It was really hard to get up every day. You know, you'd think that eventually you know, by day 20 or day 30, it would get easier to get up before sunrise. But I always found it really challenging. You know, my nose would be cold each morning because the monastery was kind of drafty and cold. And the thought of, you know, coming out of the warm covers was daunting, you know. And not so much the meditation practice itself, although that was sometimes daunting because it brought up various emotions. But just the physical challenge of getting up when you're tired still, and the sun is not up is really, it's an interesting practice, you know, to face every day. And I would often think, looking at the sisters in the meditation hall, my God, you know, they do this every day. Like, they get up and, you know, they've been doing this for years, getting up before sunrise. And, to challenge oneself like that on a regular basis is incredibly admirable. Like, it does build a kind of strong constitution, you know, like a stamina. That the nuns were so hearty, you know. I just thought of them as these creatures that were capable of so much, you know, even when they were ill. I also became ill at the monastery at one point. But I recognized that I was fighting my illness and feeling kind of sorry for myself much more than I recognized the nuns who were also ill were doing. They seemed to just take it as a part of life and an experience and not have this kind of aversion to it. You know, so getting up early, we have an aversion to that because we like our comforts. We like a warm, cozy bed and to get up, you know, whenever we want. But these challenges are necessary because they build this kind of fiber within you. You know, you need to have like pressure on you. Thinking of like a, you know, an oyster that has a speck of sand in it. That's the pressure needed for that bit of sand to become turned into a pearl. And similarly, you know, coal needs pressure to be turned into a diamond. Like, I really feel like as humans, we need a certain amount of pressure and challenges in order to expand and grow and meet our true potential.
Mm-hmm. I agree with that. I love that analogy. Mm-hmm. And is there a specific posture? Do they have a meditation posture that they use?
There are several meditations they do. They're beautiful. There's several chants. There's bowing to the earth, which is beautiful. And it's exactly as you would imagine it. You kneel down, put your head down, stretch your arms out, and then stand up again. And you repeat that practice. And, you know, that does a number of things. That connects you with the earth element, which is also within us. And when you bow, Thich Nhat Hanh has this beautiful saying. He says, if you think that the Buddha is someone or something outside of you, then it's impossible for you to bow to the Buddha. To bow properly, you have to recognize that the Buddha is within you. And so this kind of reverential bow to whether it's the earth or the Buddha or to a tree or to anyone or anything is really a very sacred reverential practice of recognizing that this life is also within you. This sacredness is also within you. So you're not bowing to something that's outside of yourself. And it's, I think, a very beautiful understanding to come to, because, you know, in our culture, often we think of as bowing as, you know, this kind of respect, yes, for, you know, another person, but we don't necessarily think of it in these deep Buddhist terms of recognizing that that life within the person that is being bowed to is also within us. Mm-hmm. So they have this bowing practice that's beautiful. They have walking meditation, mm-hmm. which again is connecting with the earth, being very mindful of what you're doing with your body. He has a beautiful saying about walking meditation, and that is, put your mind in the sole of your foot and feel like you have this stamp of an emperor on the sole of your foot. Oh. And you are arriving to yourself in every step.
In oh, that's great.
Yourself, you have arrived. Yes, isn't that beautiful?
That's really beautiful. And Mary, I need to interrupt you right now because it's time to take a break.
Okay.
I'm speaking to Mary Patterson, author of The Monks and Me. She is sharing her enlightening story of her pilgrimage to a monastery in France soon after the loss of her father. You can learn more about her work by going to www.lotusyogacenter.com. We'll be back after the break.
The Seventh Wave Channel on the Voice America Network. What are the benefits to combining modern science with ancient healing practices? For the answers, you'll want to tune into Frame of Mind with your host, Terry Sue. Each week, our program focuses on ways to live more holistically. By developing new ways of looking at our world, we can find ways to foster harmony and peace for the good of mankind and our planet. If we learn to live and think healthier, we begin to explore and focus on our strengths. Tune into Frame of Mind, Saturdays at 12 noon Pacific Time, 3 p.m. Eastern Time on Seventh Wave Network. Are you healing from a divorce or relationship breakup? Join Regina Sisko's coaching, healing, and renewal program for women called Feeling Better Than Ever. Are you experiencing feelings of low self-worth or rejection? How would you like to feel lovable and empowered again? Regina will help you to transform your thoughts, beliefs, and behaviors that are creating your pain and suffering. You will feel immediate relief with her gentle and powerful healing process. Each step of the way, you will feel lighter and will begin to forgive and accept yourself. You'll feel your heart heal. How wonderful is that? Regina will guide you to loving yourself and having a whole new level of freedom in your life. You will feel better than ever. Act now. Email info@reginasisko.com for a free 20-minute consultation. Also check out Regina's matchmaking services on our website at www.lifestreamholisticcoaching.com. Now you can let go of the dating frustration and work with her to help you find your match made in heaven. Are you ready to have a true divine relationship? Email info@reginasisko.com to get started. Invite meaning and inspiration to your life. This is the Voice America Seventh Wave Channel.
This is Shining Bright with Regina Sisko. If you have a question or comment for Regina, please call into our program at 1-866-472-5795. Again, that's 1-866-472-5795. We'd love to hear from you. Now, back to our program.
Welcome back to Shining Bright on Voice America's Seventh Wave Channel. I'm your host, Regina Sisko, and I'm speaking to author Mary Patterson, who is sharing her experiences of 40 days in a French monastery and what she learned about herself and her life through the eyes of the Buddhist brothers and sisters. So, Mary, you were on this 40-day pilgrimage, and you went to the monastery in France. So what did you learn about yourself and this experience? What were the gifts?
Well, I learned a lot. I learned some things that I didn't want to learn about myself. You know, you recognize your habitual tendencies and ways of being in the world that haven't been working for you, and they all come up and stare you in the face. But it, you know, that is a wonderful opportunity to then change. But on a positive note, I recognized, you know, that that everyone has their own kind of suffering, and that, you know, when people are suffering, often we forget that everyone has some kind of suffering. And I think I really realized at the monastery that everyone has their own kind of pain, and that we're all in this together. And there are practices, really practical techniques, that will help liberate us from our suffering. I felt a renewed kind of compassion for myself and my own suffering, at the same time as having an enhanced awareness and understanding of other people's suffering, and not just people, but the planet and other beings. And I think that, you know, when you connect with this kind of compassion within, then you can be of some use to the world. You know, when we're full of suffering, we become quite self-oriented unless we actually do something to expand out from our own suffering. So I would say that that was a big gift, was recognizing how to have true compassion for myself, not dismiss my own suffering, and I had an enhanced awareness of other beings' suffering, and it brought up compassion for them as well.
Mm-hmm. So it sounds to me that that compassion brought up that self-love and self-nurturing then helps you through your grieving process with the loss of your father, correct?
Yeah, that's it. You know, like, it starts with the self. You have to have, as you know, and as you said in your beautiful introduction today, that you really have to have a kind of enduring love and care and nourishment for yourself. You know, otherwise you're useless. You're useless to yourself, and you're useless to other people. So that enduring, continuous, solid care for the self is incredibly important. And Thich Nhat Hanh taught this beautiful exercise of embracing a negative emotion once it comes up within us, as if you are cradling your own crying baby. So if you have anger or depression or frustration or sorrow come up, if you cradle that emotion and recognize that you can soothe yourself as if yourself is this crying baby, mm-hmm. then you accept that negativity within you, and then it begins to transform. And then you have the ability to connect with others.
Right.
Without compassion, we can't connect with other people.
That's right. And it's time for me to wrap up the show, Mary. So very quickly, where can people find your book?
Online, Amazon, and
okay.
All independent bookstores. Most independent bookstores have them, and then the bigger chain bookstores carry them too, Barnes & Noble, Amazon. Yeah, it's pretty.
Okay.
And my website, you can find the information for my book there too.
Great. And the book is Monks and Me. Mary, thanks so much for being on the show. I really appreciate you sharing your story with us.
Thank you so much, Regina, and thanks for your interest.
You're welcome. And on my show next week is going to be author and expert Dr. Tian Dayton, and she will talk about kids who grow up with alcoholic or addicted parents and who are abused and neglected. She's both a psychologist and a child of an alcoholic, and she knows the helplessness about adult children face, as well as what they must do to grieve, retrieve their buried pain, and achieve acceptance so they can heal. She will share valuable insights to help free the pain of the past and can assure the future is bright. Join me next Friday, October 19th at 1 p.m. Eastern Time. And just a reminder to check out my website at reginasisco.com and click on the Feng Shui tab to register for my upcoming teleclass with Kathleen McCandless, How to Attract Love. And let me see. I also want to tell you about my conscious matchmaking services, which are also on my website. You can go to the matchmaking tab. Thank you for listening in. This is Regina Sisco with Shining Bright. From my heart to yours, have a wonderful week.
Thank you again for being part of Shining Bright. Please join your host, Regina Sisco, again next Friday at 1 p.m. Eastern Time, 10 a.m. Pacific Time, on the Voice America 7th Wave Channel. This week, take one more step to leading the life that you deserve.